What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Because you know, like at camps and stuff like this, you take the ball out, you ain't getting the ball back. Like, you the last one up the court, they already did their thing. So I stopped there, and I just got into a rhythm and started hooping.
The Lakers should sign Trae Young this summer.
They got to kind of start preparing for, like, if LeBron's last year is this year or next year, whenever it is. And I feel like a pick and roll with AD and a guy like Trae Young would be deadly.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Welcome back, All the Smoke, episode 10.
Diaz.
Finishing out the new year. Man, we're about to get into the decade of 2010 to 2020 and how wild and transcending it was for the game of basketball, where we were in the mix of all this. And we're going to sit back and have fun and reminisce a little bit.
I'm cool with
you ready
that.
To do that?
Let's do it.
Good to see you, man.
You too, man.
Been on a little break for a minute. Yeah,
hey, you kind of lotion-y today, though.
Yeah, you mean? It's cold out here.
It is. See, they took my jacket.
Stay moisturized.
Cool.
Take your hat off real quick.
Oh.
You ain't got, just like when you ain't got no hang. Zero
it's
hang.
Up. It's coming.
You know, you look like one of them badass little kids. Like you're a little badass little kid.
It's taking me back. You know, last time I had my hair like this, I was running in the stands.
Be careful. All right, man, so let's jump right into this. 2010, man, yeah. I was 30. It's crazy, though, because when we go decade by decade, like I was born in 1980. So every decade, I'm jumping into a whole new, you know, set of numbers. So I'm pulling up on 40. What are you, 41?
Be 42.
42, yeah. So the 2010 season, where were you at in your career?
2010, I was, who knows, Charlotte, maybe?
Yeah, that's right.
I was in Charlotte.
I left Orlando going to the Lakers, and we beat you guys in the playoffs that year.
I was in Charlotte.
Yeah. So this is where, you know, we start. We pick up with LeBron. This is LeBron losing to the Celtics 2 out of 3 years, and in the tunnel takes off his jersey.
And you knew it was over?
I think everyone thought something was going on.
That's a little frustrating when you've been playing basketball all day, you can't win the game. You playing good with your team, sorry, you just
quit.
I just had enough.
That takes us to the decision. I love the fact that LeBron pretty much changed the landscape of basketball from a standpoint of a player finally being empowered to do what he wants to do. So often, we know it's a business. So when teams cut us, trade us, waive us, don't play us, fuck us somehow,
we got to deal with it.
It's the business.
Mm-hmm.
But when players start taking control of their narrative and doing what is best for them and their brand and their family, they're the bad guy, they're the villain. I think the only place he made a mistake was drawing that long ass sitting down and just, I'm gone, you know, or just, to me, he could have tightened it up. It should have been a spectacle. It could have just been more of like, hey, you know, I've decided to, you know, make this new move to Miami.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you on that too, but like, for what he's done
for so many players. Like, I just love the fact that he did it his way. Like, me,
and I'm not mad at it.
Like, I can
see myself. I'm not even mad at it, right.
If I was in bronze shoes and everybody was
like that, I could imagine you being robe out, chest hair out.
I would have shown a Rolls Royce security. Oh, it's like, man, chill out, man. You know what I'm saying? I've been doing a little thing, walking down the aisle, all that. And chill out. 30 chains on. Like, man, listen. I know all y'all want to know what I'm doing. You know, I'd have did that times 10. Yeah. But.
Like I said, I'm not mad. I just think to me it could have just it rubbed some people the wrong way. But I think the moment overall was amazing for athletes.
And when that let me know something about LeBron. Huh. He don't give a fuck what nobody think, bro. That's why I love him.
I ain't mad at
him. He don't give a fuck. I'm going to do it my way. Right. I know I can go out there and hoop or the and bust everybody ass. And, hey, y'all can love it or leave it.
You got to take it.
And everybody was watching. I mean, even me. I'm sitting there watching. Where he going? Where he going? He had the whole world watching, bro.
That was dope.
That was super dope.
I'm not mad. But did he do it like
the Boys and Girls Club or something like that?
I'm not sure. Wait, I don't remember where he did it.
It ended up being the way we was giving back at the same time. You know what I'm saying?
What people didn't know. He always make it work. But anyway, so this is the beginning of Super Teams.
In the Super Team.
This is a swing in the historical build through the draft and hopefully get some good trades to build your team. This is superstars leaving their respective teams and building a team.
It was scary though, because when Bron first went to Miami, everybody was like, oh my God, they finna dominate, and they lose the first year.
Crazy.
You know what I'm saying? So we're like, well, is this Big Three shit even gonna work?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But shit, and then it ended up winning.
It was
next
only
two.
A matter of time. You right. Know, like, we always talk about chemistry. And like I said, shit could always look good on paper, but you got to get that chemistry down. I think they learned from that. That was the year I was with the Lakers. I tore my knee going into the playoffs. We were going for a three-peat. Dallas beat the dog shit out of us, swept us. Jason Terry hit like 10 threes in one game, and then they ended up beating
Teriyaki,
LeBron and them in the finals.
Dirk only chip.
Yeah.
That's the one Dirk won, yep. Yeah. 21.
Those were good times. That wasn't in the 2010s, though. We'll get to that another time. It's also kind of the beginning of social activism to speak to, you know, coming up in the years ahead of that. That's when I think LeBron and the whole Miami Heat team had the Trayvon Martin hoodies on, and the Eric Garner I Can't Breathe, I think, was the following year. So I think that was kind of the first time him opening those doors for, like I said, for the rest of us. I think with his move to Miami, he opened up for players to kind of take control. And then with his lead, he kind of opened up our platform to kind of speak more on social events, not just sports, and things that we really feel that are near and dear to us.
When was the last time the face of the NBA did that or led that?
The face of sports led it.
That's what I'm saying. When was the last? Never. You know what I mean?
He's definitely the most
woke
superstar I think we've ever had in
by far
in any sport.
I think it's because he really comes from it.
Right.
It ain't too many superstars that actually come from the mud. LeBron really come from it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I think he see things different. You know.
I wish people would just kind of understand, even not just LeBron, but you know, great players. I think we get so caught up in, and we're in a social media world, so you're riding for your team, or you want to just hate on guys instead of sitting back and realize, like, you're witnessing history with some of these guys, with KD, with Steph, with LeBron, with Kobe, and it's crazy. You see more slander than you just, not that they need praise or look for praise, but just you see more hate than you see love, not really realizing in a moment of time, when we look back on this, we're 50, 60, 70 years old, like, we witnessed some of the greatest players ever to play this game.
I think about it a lot, because 9 out of 10 times when somebody asks me about basketball, they ask me about Tim Duncan.
What you said?
I said 9 out of 10 times.
Them boys always listening to
you. No, she was asking me what I said.
Okay.
9 out of 10 times when people ask me about basketball, they ask me about Tim Duncan, Siri. I'll tell you about it later.
But
Tim Duncan is, you know, people ask me about Tim Duncan. I'm like, this is the best power forward of all time. In my mind, you know, might not be to everybody, but to be able to play with him and him to embrace me, to see him almost get a quadruple-double all the way through the playoffs into the finals, like, that stuff was special, man. And even to come in to play against Jay Kidd at that time in the finals, like, wow. Right. Like, he was unbelievable, bro. Right.
I think we get a different perspective, obviously, because we're out there doing it.
Yeah,
but. You know what I mean? And we see the greatness and understand how hard it is to do what they're doing. But I think from the outside looking in, we just live in a day and time where it's almost weak to show love or to show respect or to praise someone. It's just a lot easier, people think, to just hate on people.
Oh, it's so much easier to hate than show love.
And that's the gift and the curse from social media. You know, it's a lot of players such as ourselves who were labeled one way in the game, to show the world where we are. You know, we both were just talking about this off camera. That
shout out Showtime.
Definitely. That we've been able to grow a brand that's going to be much bigger than our basketball brand, you know, post-career. Mm-hmm. And that's because of social media and the way we could really kind of, we were both labeled as thugs, gangbangers, bad this, bad that. But the one thing we both always had in common was our teammates loved us.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So it was just a misconception of what the world thought we were. You know, back in the day when we, you know, coming into this decade, there wasn't really social media. You know what I mean? Like Twitter had just kind of started going in the early 2000s. We didn't really have much of a voice. You know what I mean? So if the media painted us one way, that's who we were. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think the emergence of social media has given us outlets and given us our own platforms, but also growing the game tremendously to make it what it is today. And for guys to make the money it is today, I think a lot has to do with social media and guys growing their brands.
It's a gift and a curse, though.
Bro, right.
It's definitely a gift and a curse.
Them DMs be trouble.
Oh,
huh?
My goodness. It's
DMs
a gift and a
are
curse.
Problem,
you know, it was one of a high school kid. His name is Dior on Instagram. And he was talking about how some of these blogs be making certain players look good and blowing them up, and then when they step up to him, like they really ain't that good. He said he don't even want to be a part of that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He want to stay real. And a lot of kids these days, like in the NBA, they get caught up in the social media world.
But the shit that ain't real.
What? They feel like they something they not. You know what I'm saying? Because they really don't even have to earn a spot no more. I've heard this from NBA players. Like young guys don't even show up early no more. A lot of this stuff has changed.
Really?
And it's because of social media.
Yeah, got them feeling themselves.
Oh, my goodness. Super confident.
Cold game.
Get a million followers, is over.
Touchback on two, it was a big thing, like I said, kind of piggybacking on off this social media platform. When LeBron, Wade, CP, and Melo spoke up at the ESPYs, you know, just kind of speaking on all the violence and the killings and the senseless acts that we continue to watch day by day. And I think that was huge. Like I said, having kids, we know that it just kind of resonates when athletes say it, you know.
So them four, for sure.
But then, yeah, there's no question them four. But I just think, you know, when we start using our voice is heard around the world, you know, and that's the kind of attention I think we needed to continue to bring to the bullshit that was happening in the streets with the unjust killings and just where we were as a society. So, like I said, you continue to thank these guys for using their platform and opening up these doors. We could jump into a situation, too, but both of us kind of went through Donald Sterling. You know what I mean? This is to the 2013-2014 season. You know, I was with obviously the Clippers. We felt like, you know, we had created a new vibe over there and we really had a chance to win a championship. So, you know, if you keep in mind, we were the last team to kind of beat the Warriors before they had their dynasty run. You know what I mean? So we felt like we had something special. We kept, you know, getting each other's way. That's another time. But something that happened during the playoffs that year was the tapes dropped to Donald Sterling. And you were on our team for a little bit that year.
Let me go early, but right before that happened.
Right before that happened. But, you know, you took it one crazy way, and we talked about it off camera that I didn't even know how you felt because we hadn't really talked about it because you were already gone by the time it hit, and then we took it one way. Well, tell me how you took it.
Like, I was already at the end of my career, you know what I mean? And I think me being...
So you was on some NWA shit?
Well, I was on my Black Panther shit anyway, but being cut before that happened was a blessing in disguise.
Because you probably would've.
Oh, my goodness. I would have just left the team. I wouldn't have showed up. I wouldn't have showed up to the more games. I would have been outside with the fans burning the jerseys.
Burning what else?
All that too. Burning trees for sure. But I would have been burning all the jerseys. I've been protesting too.
But you made
I'd have been just as hurt as the fans.
You made a song with Face though, didn't you?
I made a song called America the Beautiful about the whole situation, how I felt. You know, I was like, is it a quarter? Is it a cotton field? And that's how he made it look. You know, and it was just upsetting to me, knowing how much we play the game, know how much we love the game, to know that somebody that, you know, that's benefiting off what we love to do feels like that about
crazy.
Us. You know what I mean?
Real quick, product plug. Where can they find that song at?
America the Beautiful. You can find that on iTunes, and you can find it YouTube.
We need to start a statement
Scarface.
Called
Scarface. Me and Scarface.
Plug your shit and your begging.
You be like, but you
come
right on time with that,
tone,
man. That's
bro.
My,
come on, man. Trying to get you them downloads and numbers.
Appreciate that, man.
Trying to get you them downloads.
Need that numbers.
We took it different. You know what I mean? I think, you know, the shit hit like out the blue. We're in Golden State right before game four, you know, and it leaked and we found on social media. And my reaction, well, I think, was different from other people's reaction. But like I touched on that Sean Key episode last time we were here, I faced real racism.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like mannequins, dyed nigger, swastikas all over my school. Like I faced real racism. So to hear a old ass rich white man say speak to the black culture that way, it didn't really trip me out because, like I said, like you just touched on, he's definitely not the only one that thought that way. He was just the only one dumb enough to get caught. You know, to get caught by a snake of a rat neck ass, goat mouth ass woman he was dealing with.
Body to your body.
Yeah, man, you know what I mean? So to me, it didn't really trip me out. So like we, as we kind of start, you know, kind of start spreading like wildfire, texting each other like, yo, this shit just really happened. He just said that shit. So we, you know, next day we come in and Doc handled it beautifully. I think this is the first thing for the new commissioner. The first thing on the new commissioner's plate. And then this is our first year with Doc, and Doc was a shield for our team. Doc is just like, hey, you know, first he asked what we thought, and everyone kind of expressed our opinion. He said, whatever you do, kind of do it together. But then Doc was kind of the shield for our team. Like he wanted, you know, obviously everyone knew it was the worst time to have this shit drop, but he was the only one to talk to the media about it. He addressed all the questions, and we were just allowed to go out there and try to focus, try to play. We heard hella shit. You know, you guys shouldn't play. You should boycott. How can you play for a racist owner? How can you do this? How can you do that? And I'm thinking like, y'all know, I mean, first of all, we feel like we have a good enough team to win a championship, but
yeah.
know what I mean? So if they say something, so are you just not going to go to work? You know what I mean? So like I said, it was never, we were never playing for Sterling. We were always playing for us and trying to build our own tradition and trying to get the Clippers, you know, from being a doormat to a respectable team. So we got all kinds of crazy, you guys should do this, you guys should do that. But we just sat down and talked and we threw ideas out there. And I actually came up with, you know, let's flip our shits inside out and we get out there, throw them on the ground and kind of just let everyone know. We know what he said was wrong, what he did was wrong, but we have a bigger goal and it never had anything to do with him from the beginning.
You think that just that hovering over y'all affected y'all play?
No, I mean, we got our asses blown out in game four, if I'm not mistaken, but we ended up winning the series in seven, and then we were up 3-1 against Houston, and we tricked that off. So I don't think, you know, it was noise, but it was, you can't blame us tricking shit off on that. It was just another distraction that we had to deal with.
That's just not the right motivation.
No, not from your owner.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not from the situation. And then, you know, so it was just, it was definitely a black eye, but like I said, it was a chance for Adam Silver, you know, to kind of, okay, your first year on the job, this is your you know, what are you going to do?
And he handled it gracefully.
Handled it amazing. I think that's when he kind of showed people, okay, you know, I'm ready for this heavy lifting. He did what he's supposed to do. We got to do it out the league, and we've been moving on ever since. Mm-hmm. So this is also a time, you know, within that 2015, 16, 17 era when we kind of start losing pillars that, you know, were greats in our time. You know, this is when a window of time when Tim retired, Kobe retired, Dirk retired. I think D-Wade was the last one to leave. Paul KG. Pierce retired. Yeah, Kevin Garnett retired. We lost some greats of the game, and it was kind of a changing of the guard. Although, you know, arguably Braun was still the best player at that time. You know, Kobe was obviously right there. You know, and there was a time where Kobe was the best player in the world. But we lost, you know, guys that carried this league for 20 years. Mm-hmm. So it was a crazy time. And, you know, you got a chance to play with Tim. And, you know, I got a chance to play with Kobe. I had great battles with Garnett. Garnett was a motherfucking dog. I wish he was. I did a radio interview last night with some Warrior people. And they brought the We Believe thing up. But how true was us getting Kevin Garnett? Do you know? Because you were Nelly's right hand. It went Nelly, his dog, and then Jack.
Yeah.
You were his black stepson.
I basically was.
Yeah.
Shout out Nelly.
For sure.
I didn't hear nothing about it, bro.
So you didn't know if we were actually, or was that rumor or anything?
I honestly know for a fact, if I would have heard anything about KG, I would have said something to y'all.
Can you imagine, though, if KG would have came to our We Believe team? That shit would have been sickening.
I don't even want to think about it, bro.
Yeah, we passed that. Stop reminiscing.
Yeah.
But like I said, it was the end.
Nah, damn that. KG, BD.
You.
Me, Al, Monte,
Petrus. Could have been ugly.
That's dangerous.
Could have been ugly. And like I said, changing of the guards, these guys are on their way out. New guys are rising. Like I said, LeBron kind of had the throne at that time. But shortly after that, we get Giannis.
That time.
Kawhi comes on the scene.
He had the throne at that time.
Yeah. How long has he had the throne?
What you mean?
He's been on the throne for how long?
C-minute.
How long was that? So how long has LeBron been with him and Kobe overlapping? Because it was, you know, only those two at the time were considered probably, you know, how long was Bron the best player to you?
I think Bron has been the best player in the league every year except his first 2 years. I think from his third year on, he's been the best player in the league to me.
I'm not mad at that.
From his third year on, he just dominated. That's when he just...
All around.
Oh, my goodness. I just got to give him his card. From his third year on, LeBron has been the best player in the league. With guys like Tim Duncan and Crazy. KG and all those guys being Crazy. In the league, Kobe, all those guys, he's been the best.
And the teams he took to the finals.
He was going to the finals every year while those guys were in the league.
Every year.
With whoever he had. Let's go. Whoever. Get on my back.
Come on. You want to come? Okay. You know where we're going, right?
Kane.
We're going to the finals.
Come on the throne.
I'm not mad at that. Thanks. I'm not mad at that. So like I said, with the pillars of the community, the elder statesmen's kind of exiting, this is, like I said, LeBron's at the top, and then you have Giannis is coming in, you have Kawhi is making the name for themselves, Steph, Clay, Draymond, with what the Warriors did, KD and Russ and Harden, all these new guys are ready to step up and be that wave of player. And the game itself has changed as well, you know what I mean? It used to be something we both hung our hats on was playing defense.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that is on its way out as we're finishing as players. But, you know, with this new, almost I call it like, you know, what was it called in baseball? When the home run ball was going, this is kind of just a new era of just crazy scoring and style of play. And I think a lot has to do with the Warriors. You know what I mean? People always say you live by the three, die by the three. But, you know, Steph and Clay and these guys changed the game.
What people don't understand, though, they did change the game, but they changed the game by having two of the best shooters ever.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky, they're saying Cal's a bust. You can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to
do my
game.
That's my game.
Opportunity is not equally distributed. To every Black entrepreneur listening, I want to make sure you have the tools and resources you need to grab your next opportunity. That's why I'm telling you about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million Black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the Black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have Black ownership. This program gives Black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 Black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million Black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being Black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive 120-day free trial at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
They played the same way we played.
We just didn't make as many
shots.
Yeah, we was definitely playing the small ball style, yeah.
But people talked about defense. Every year, they're in the top 10 defensively. So people talk about they're not playing defense. Their offense makes them have great defense. So people have to stop saying that they don't play D because they was always one of the top defensive teams. Every year they won it.
But I think, too, from the fact of, like you said, although they were the greatest shooters, it was just, it was always, you know, you hear the TNT crew, that you can't win with the three ball, you can't do this with the three ball, and they proved the game wrong. And now with just this newer generation of kids coming up, it's about shooting threes.
Man, I go to this AAU games, and I tell you,
it's insane.
Yes, you go 10 possessions. And ain't nobody touch the paint.
Bro, it goes.
Everybody's just launching.
You know that the key to the offense back in the day was it had to touch the paint.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know, work inside out. And now it's work out and further out and further out.
Half court.
Which is crazy.
From the logo.
With all these big 6'9", 6'10", 260, 252 fluid guys moving, a little dude, you know, named Steph Curry comes in and finds a way to be effective, not being athletic, as strong, as big as these guys, but just as effective,
he
if not
got
more.
Yo,
no question. He got the whole package.
He can handle the ball like no package. Other, bro. And get it. And
you
shoot
saw him
off
early
dribble.
On. You were his teammate.
When
you know
we
mean?
Drafted him.
Kind of the end of what our team was with, you know, Monte and you and Monte hung around. You asked to be traded, right?
Yeah, when they drafted, like they all y'all was gone.
Right.
All my home was gone. Everybody that I was around. I
and
was
obviously
there.
No one knew Steph was going to be who
I had
he was.
No clue. I had no
clue. How long
clue.
Were you with him?
I was with him like a month or two.
Oh, okay.
And the time wasn't good because the time I was with him, Brandon Jennings gave him 55. Mm. So I didn't see I didn't see this stuff with that day. Uh-huh. I didn't see that happening. But shit, he sure proved me wrong.
Yeah.
And a lot of people wrong.
Right. I absolutely agree. Also to think too how, you know, now we can kind of touch on that Warrior run and that Warrior dynasty, how they built, you know, like I said, LeBron took it to, you know, teams. I'm going to where I want to go and come join me. And then the Warriors did it the old traditional way, you know, through great draft picks.
Three great draft picks.
And you know, front office moves and strategic moves. You know, Jerry West was in that mix. You know, Bob Myers and the rest of the crew, they were in there kind of constructing that team. And it kind of like, okay, well, damn, they did it the right way. You know what I mean? And then you look at Philly, trusting the process. They did it the right way. You know what I mean? So there's kind of, do we see what way is going to work? You know, now we've kind of have a little bit more parity where it's kind of more two stars and three stars. But do you see it staying, come play with me, or do you see it kind of going back to the old traditional way of, you know, building through the draft?
I think it's got to the come play with me, let's build our team, my home.
A little bit of both?
It's going to stay that. It's going to stay there.
Okay.
Because that's the only way you can win now. It's too late to go back to the other way. You go back to the other way, you're going to be at the bottom of the barrel. Yeah. You have to team up with guys. Too many teams are good, and too many teams have two or three All-Stars. They might not make it to the All-Star
game. But they have game, those caliber type
And they
players.
May put up All-Star numbers.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's a lot of teams like that. So I think it's going to stay where guys are going to continue to try to play with each other because the guys want to win now. Guys want to be loyal. Like Dame Lillard, he want to show some loyalty.
Right.
So it's good that they can make a move and get a guy like Carmelo to add to their team. They can get big fella back. They can have a good chance to win it. So I think guys want to stay loyal and win it, but at the same time, they still recruiting guys to their situation.
Yeah, and like I said, the process takes too long, and we live in a time and age where trusting the process is going to get a whole bunch of head coaches fired and management fired and
a bunch of trades.
You know, exactly. So it's really now, like I said, the door's been open. I think the Warriors were kind of an exception, but even they, you know, were able to recruit, you know, KD and kind of solidify their dynasty. So I think I agree with you with the game has changed and it's changed forever when it comes to that. I mentioned previously how trust the process is the process that the Sixers took, and a lot of people, you know, had mixed opinions on if that is the process. They've had a handful of talent of late. You know, they've obviously built around Embiid and Simmons and did some good things around them. What do you think about them as a team right now and their chances?
The person that the slogan was made for, Embiid, trust the process, he's not happy with the process because he's first person to speak on not having Jimmy Butler is a big problem. Choosing Tobias Harris over Jimmy Butler was a big mistake. They had a chance to cater to Jimmy, to keep Jimmy there. I think Jimmy is a better fit there, and he was leading those guys. The guy who Embiid, who they land putting their hat on, who's the big fella of their team, he was the first person to say that he's upset with Jimmy Butler not being there.
Jimmy Butler was
that killer. Is a star player. For him to say that,
yeah,
things are not right there. Right. So they trust in the process, but their process took a step back when they let Jimmy go.
So you don't see them having a chance to win anything?
No, I wouldn't say that because they're in the East. They have a chance to still win the East. Mm-hmm. You know, they still have Hartford and Embiid together mm-hmm. in the paint.
I think J.J. Redick was a big loss, too.
Big loss, too. Uh-huh. You know, so that's two big pieces, two veterans, two guys that can yeah. go anywhere yeah. and help any team right now. You yeah. know what I mean? Jimmy Butler's an all-star. So I just
be interesting.
It's going to be real yeah, interesting.
If the process works. You know,
and,
at the end
and
of the
Ben
day,
Simmons
the,
been playing well.
Yeah, I love Ben Simmons'
He's
game.
He's been playing well.
And to me, the only way the process works is with a championship.
That's it.
We're
going right.
to see.
Right.
You know, but that West is
I'm not heavy. Trusting it right now, though.
You're not rolling with the
I'm
trust.
Not trusting it. I'm
I like them. I like them. To me, they were my pick earlier to come out of the East, you know, and I haven't really wavered from that pick. So we'll see how it goes. But let's talk about how the style of play has changed. You know, I think we got the old the taste of the old physical era. You came in when, 2000?
2000.
I was 2000, 2003, then actually locked in 2004. So we got a little bit of the hand check and physicality and that part of the game, and that's what I loved.
That's something I knew how to play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I still play like that. That's why that's why I'm not in the NBA playing the Big Three, because the Big Three got the old rules. It was fun. I mean, we would talk about the dogs,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean, with the hand check and the hard fouls, you know, and I think – once again, back to going to Melo. Melo got a taste of that too. Mm-hmm. And if you see Melo mm-hmm. play on the court right now, yeah. you can tell he's comes hungry. From that old school style basketball.
He's saying
dog.
Fuck all the doubters though. He's out there playing with, and I love it. He's saying fuck everybody.
I love it too,
me.
Man.
But you like his motor and his hunger. Like you don't see. A couple weeks ago, there was one play where he had three offensive rebounds in
that's
a row
what I'm
and finally
about.
Went through someone's mouth. Like, yo.
But that's the old school style of ball.
Yeah, welcome to that's this how we play.
That's how
he's
we play.
He's out there deep on some motherfuckers though. Like I could tell some people guard Melo are scared.
But that's gonna transfer over to everybody on the team watch.
No,
I'm
no,
telling
man.
You.
That was a good pickup.
Man, great pickup.
It was a good pickup. But let's like I said, it went from being able to be physical to
barely kind be able
of
to touch
slowly like almost flag football now.
Yeah.
But at the same time, and I tell people, you know, because I kind of think like I was one of the last of the dying breeds to kind of like be like a defensive minded 3-and-D type.
Yeah.
You know, there's like maybe a camp, maybe five or six of them in the NBA now, but it was like, it was kind of the end of what that kind of last real raw defense was about. And like I said, we didn't really get to play the defense they got to play in, you know, obviously the 80s and 90s, but it was our form of it. But now with there being no defense, the game has grown. You know what I mean? And then you think about it strategically and from a business standpoint, like when you turn on SportsCenter, you don't want to see like a defense, like an 83-89 game. You know what I mean? People want to see 120 points.
But you don't want to see.
You're right. We don't want to see four teams losing by
40
points. You know what I mean? But you got to think highlight wise, dunks, three pointers, transitional game. Like that's what the game is. So that's why it's kind of crazy that they've gone away from you can't play no defense now.
I feel like if you in the NBA and you get beat by 40, when the playoff time come, they need to send you to the NCAA tournament.
There's some good teams that have
you
lost
by
30 or
40
and still done well. You know what I mean? You got to be careful saying shit like this because everyone will look shit up. Like, the Lakers lost by 41 one year.
I can't remember me being on the team losing by 40. I'm
it's
sorry.
It's a lot of points.
40, dog?
It's a lot of points.
Either I was kicked out or I fouled out. I'm not being a part of a team that's losing by 40. Yeah. I'm getting kicked out on purpose.
You are. I mean, I don't even have to say what, you know, I was.
You can kicked out too.
There's no question.
40 points?
No question.
Ain't nobody taking that shit.
A couple weeks ago, Giannis dunked on Julius Randle, I think, from the Knicks.
Ooh.
My God.
I just stared at him.
I would have had to swing on dude.
Just stare off the vert too, no dribble.
Incredible. Long
with the
arm
left.
In his face. Like, it was just like, ugh. Like,
that's how it's supposed to be done.
Yeah. It's ugh.
Rick Free could have played back in the day.
I like Greek.
He's an animal.
But they would have tried to punt it. Like, imagine him coming to the lane with Shaq. He would have dunked on Shaq one time, and Shaq would have tried to take all this shit out, like all of it. That's why, like, you know what I mean? I got a chance to play with Shaq on the backside of his crib, but he, you know, in his heyday, we used to talk, and I'm just like, you know, when someone's cooking, a guard was cooking, he would tell him to send him to the paint, and Shaq would lay their ass out, and it would slow their whole momentum down. You know what I mean? And I think, though, like, stuff like that, is strategically doing shit like that and then kind of enforce. I miss that kind of stuff.
I got want to say this about Shaq. I got a story about Shaq. I had the most vulnerable moment ever with Shaq, though.
Oh, heaven.
So, you know, me and Shaq real cool. When we played something, you know, I always run up to him and give him a little chest bump.
That motherfucker's so strong, bro.
Man, I'm not even thinking about it. I run up to him and give him get ready to chest bump. And he really not paying attention, but he turned around the last minute. This motherfucker catch me mid-air. I'm like, man, if you don't put me the
like
fuck
a baby,
down,
huh?
All these people out here, this nigga catch me mid-air. I'm like, come on, man, this dude cannot be big that big,
Shaq.
Dog.
I got some crazy stories about Shaq in Phoenix, man. He was a big-ass prankster.
Big-ass kid.
Oh, man. When we get him on the show, I'm going to call him on some of the shit he did. People are going to be blown away with some of the shit Big Fella did. Well, let's go. Well, I mean, with turning of the decade, you know, we're heading into a new start where we have some great duos.
Complete shift.
2020. Would you say right now arguably the best duo is AD and LeBron? I think that's safe to say.
No.
Ooh.
The Kang and the Brow.
Oh, that's what you're talking about.
The Kang and the Brow. That's their names. K-A-N-G.
That's going to be a duo if they could, you know, play together for, you know, a handful of years. That's going to go down in history.
Remember I said that Bron wasn't playing like the dog after that first game of the season against the Clippers. I said he needed to play with more dog. I said, Bron, you can average 40. You can average 50 if you want. He's been getting triple-doubles every night. Best record in the league.
The Lakers are tough. I'm not even going to lie. You know, I love it. I mean, Lakers
Bron
are my
can
all-time
average 90.
Favorite team. Yeah.
90, 10, and 25 that. If he won't. Just don't take it easy on him, Bron. Stop playing to the level of your competition. Get 70 points a night because you can. It's
but
easy.
I think he got to pace himself, though.
Damn that. Just load management and pace shit.
Boy got
man.
Some miles on his legs. You want pace. It now or you want it in April and May?
Pace.
When you want it. I'm asking you when you want it.
I want it every night.
You can't have it every night after year 17. That's what you got AD for. Huh? I mean, he pay $1 million, but let's just think
that's
just miles. And
if I spent $1 million on our body, just, oh, my goodness.
We might have spent $1 million.
We'll be playing two sports. You'll be playing football and basketball. I'll be playing fucking rugby and basketball. We'll be all over the place.
Huh?
And I'll be boxing. I'll be jumping out of jets, all kind of shit if I spent $1 million on $1 million on your body a year. Nothing should be wrong with you. Load management. Are you kidding me?
Nah, I'm the other way. Pace yourself, bro.
Score a million a game,
dog. I love seeing
you
flashes
do
during the season, but I want to see it in the playoffs.
You
the
can
finals.
Do it. Just do it.
But right down the hall, Kawhi and PG. And PG's been back for a minute. Kawhi is Kawhi. You know what I mean?
He's really hurt, you though.
Know, he, it looks like
remember
he is,
Lou
man.
Told
yeah.
us that. He's really yeah. hurt. He got to take games.
But he's
bro.
Still doing what he's doing. But I ain't even talking about the low man. I'm just talking about the duo itself. You know, I think when Paul George, you know, gets his footing back, he's been playing really well. I think it's going to be a Western Conference battle final to go down. It's going to be fun.
We talk about all these duos. We the sickest duo.
On TV?
Yeah, we the sickest duo, period. Yeah,
they don't even know. Period. Y'all don't even know that.
But Giannis, Luka.
They're scary. Luka's scary. I was talking to someone, I don't think, and this is no knock on Bron and no knock on anyone, but offensively skilled, I don't think we've ever seen a player come into the game. This right. I mean, some can say Kareem, but I don't even, you know, back in the day when he came in completely dominant. But Luka's different because he can give it to you any way you want it.
Do they know that Luka's a legit 6'9"?
Big body. But he's
handles.
Only, he's only 20.
Step backs.
Doing whatever he wants to this league.
All the records and numbers LeBron was putting up that when he was breaking at the beginning of his career, Luka's doing the same thing.
On him.
And squashing them all.
It's crazy.
He's special, bro. And what I like about him, I say this all the time about players. That's the first thing I notice. He don't back down.
No, no, hell no.
You know what I'm saying? That's the first thing, especially when you come from overseas to the NBA. The first thing
that's
they try to do is take your heart.
Well, you know that. That was always kind of the knock with, you know, obviously a handful of them were special, you know, but a Euro, we was trying to punk them off
punk,
the rip.
Yep.
Off the rip. They
you couldn't punk Karolinko.
No, he was a dog.
You couldn't punk Karolinko, for sure.
He was a dog. That motherfucker had our whole team, our whole offense fucked up in the playoffs. But, you know, like I said, there were some exceptions from over, you know, the knock back then was, you know, they would be soft and you get in their ass and they'd disappear. But that's one thing Luka, he's ready for it. He wants to get, you know what I mean? He's ready for that head up any day, anytime, anywhere.
And you know what's crazy, though? Everybody was talking about when Porzingis get there, how it's going to be.
Crazy.
Porzingis is not even on Luka's level.
Not close. They don't even like that. What I'll give Porzingis, it's going to take him a whole, after the type of knee injury he had, I'm not judging him until next year. But I was thinking, I was looking at his number the other day, thinking the way you were, I was just like, I forgot it's his first year back from a knee injury. But, like, it's not, it's.
Man.
Before Porzingis got hurt, we were thinking him up here, but I think.
Batman Luke and Robin.
I think they can still get there.
You think so?
I think giving Porzingis another year. Porzingis,
Robin. They might have to slide another person in Robin and let him go to be Alfred or something. You know what I'm saying? Alfred. Who get Batman stuff ready? He's gonna have to. I don't know. I don't think he's Robin. He might not be Robin.
I want to hold judgment until.
Porzingis is more Alfred right now. We need to slide somebody in and be Robin.
Luca's Batman, Superman, Incredible Hulk,
the Dark Knight,
all of them.
Dark Knight Rises. He all that.
But they said, I mean, you know, you could check my paperwork. You know, I was telling people when he first came in the game that he has a chance to be one of the greatest players. Not only European players, but ever. And you mentioned, but while we was talking, you think he's top three in MVP voting right now.
I think Luka will finish this year top three MVP.
If not.
Definitely first team all MVP if he don't win it.
Yeah.
Definitely first team all NBA. And he's going to be there for a long time, though. He stay healthy, he's going to be there for a long time.
I agree.
I got to get a Luka jersey. Shout out Luka.
Shout out Luka for real. He ain't got nothing to ask for, though, besides that. Just tell him to send you a jersey.
No, Luka ain't got no shoe deal yet. You know, I've been keeping him. He's still trying out shoes
yet. Tell him to send you a jersey. You don't want a jersey?
I don't want no jersey.
You
want
to get one?
I'm going to get one.
Support.
We're going to go to the game or something.
I would like to. Yeah. I would definitely like to do
that. Cuban the homie. Rick call out a homie, too.
You mentioned something earlier about Luka saying, you know, and this is almost talking to the defense and what the game is like now. It's easier to score in the NBA than it was overseas.
Yeah, and it makes sense. You know, he playing overseas, it's probably him. You know, nine times over when you're overseas, you have two Americans. So it's probably him and another guy that's actually getting it paid attention by defense.
So they're shrinking the defense.
Everybody's keying on them.
Right.
In the NBA, everybody has to be tend to. Everybody's hugging their man.
Right.
Everybody got to be respected. So he's just walking to the paint. He has more space than anybody, more space than he's ever had to go one-on-one. And then in the NBA, guys, it looks like the guys take more pride in playing defense, but they have to because they're on the island.
They want
to
be, yeah.
And Luka exploits everybody.
They want to be embarrassed. And like I said, I think it's great for the game to have like players like Giannis and Luka, and I think that talks to, at the beginning of the decade, how it's grown globally with social media and what players have been able to speak up about and, you know, show that in the NBA is just an all-around amazing thing to be a part of.
It's a global game.
You know, it's definitely a global game. So it's, you know, you're starting to see more younger European stars, and that is what continues to grow the game. And like I said, these players continue to get the contracts that they're getting.
Have you seen Thon Maker's brother?
Nice.
Like the 11th grade, seven
Young,
foot.
Tall.
He handled
scary.
All that. It's crazy.
I forgot the kid's name, but there's a young KD coming up the pipeline too. Emilio, or
yeah,
I forgot what the kid's name.
Yeah, I don't know his name, but
I've seen
it.
Boy, he is nice.
He's special.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18, my first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boog. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be
That's
my
game,
bro.
AT&T connects and ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Let's transition right now into, as we close out the 2010s, me and Jack sat back and made a few lists. Don't try to go crazy, just our list. You like it, agree. If not, make your own.
I don't give a damn how y'all feel.
Right. You know how people, when you start making, like, you said so-and-so, man, we don't care. We don't care about all that shit. This is what we think. You guys tell us what you think. But we're going to start it off with the top five moments of the past 10 years. And we'll start at number five, Kobe's last game. In his historic career.
75 billion points.
Yeah, 60 points. Had the whole stadium going crazy. And that's only right. Like, who goes out with their last game being 60 points?
Kobe.
Say
that
less.
That was crazy. I mean, it was just good to watch, man, knowing how hurt he was.
Right.
And to see him finish, to go out like that.
And how he stuck around, you know, like I said, especially with the climate today, a lot of guys bounce, you know, to get that ring at the end, and Kobe stayed true. Kobe rode the ship until that motherfucker sank.
And a lot of players be out there 110% healthy and can't get 10 points.
Right.
Sorry, motherfuckers. Good. Shout out to Kobe.
You good?
Yeah, I'm good. Let's go.
You back?
Four,
Kawhi Leonard's buzzer beater against Philly that ultimately gets the Raptors and then in Canada their first championship.
Note to kids that watch that. You see, he held the follow through, the gooseneck. He just sat there and watched that motherfucker going bounce. Send everybody home. You got to keep your follow through.
Coach Jack, top five moments. Number four with, you know, Kawhi. You say what you want about Kawhi, but he's got what? Two championships and two finals MVPs.
And Defensive Player of the Year.
Defensive Player of the Year, and he led Toronto Raptors to their first championship, and then gave them there was offering them the world out there, too. Free cars, free houses, free life,
I'm just saying,
meals.
You go to a country and get them a championship,
and you need to leave.
And then bounce, like.
You can't even be mad at it.
Can't be mad at it.
Respect the game. Respect it or check it. And number three, Russell Westbrook's triple-double run. I think we get, as a society, we see greatness and we get almost tired of it and not really historically understanding how amazing what this man did was.
As a basketball player, it was just unbelievable. Me knowing the few triple-doubles I had in my career.
Yeah, I only had one. It was close to like five.
I probably had three or four.
Yeah, you know what I mean? To consistently average it for what, was it 2 or 3 years?
And to even to the point where he went and got 20-20-20 for Nip.
Shout out, rest in peace,
like,
Nip.
That was crazy.
20 on the 60s, yeah.
Yeah, that was crazy.
You know, so definitely Russell Westbrook's one was definitely top, one of the top moments.
Triple-double machine, sure.
The Warriors, but not for their dynasty, so to speak. It was the year they beat the Bulls record when they surpassed the 72-10 with 73-9.
They didn't win the championship.
But they didn't win the championship.
So that's kind of the asterisk. Like,
yeah. That's tough.
You play good. You was a great regular season team.
Yeah, but that's also, you got to think that. So that's when they beat down 3-1 to OKC.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they beat OKC, losing the finals, come back with easy money.
Easy money. Dizzle.
You know what I mean? Solidified the end of their dynasty. And the number one moment of the 2010 decade to us was LeBron's block in Game 7. On the road,
huge.
After leaving Miami, coming back to his hometown and winning Cleveland their first championship in 50 plus years.
Man, that was amazing. That changed the whole series. That saved it.
That was it.
I mean, he made a lot of blocks during the course of that year.
He played
year.
Amazing.
You know what I mean?
But just that block is what captures
it. Block on the road.
You see how high he was? Like chin above the rim, like blocked it with all this shit.
Most great players, especially in the finals, if you look back in the history of time, most great players, their moment and their play is on offense.
Mm-hmm. Is on
that
defense.
Was a defensive play.
This just kind of speaks to what LeBron is. LeBron could beat you in many different ways, you know, not just scoring. So that was our top five moments. So let's get into some honorable mentions that just missed the cut.
One of them I don't feel, but feel free.
Dirk.
Ooh, you like that? One of them I don't feel, but feel free.
But feel free.
Ooh, that's a bar.
Bar?
That's a bar.
You coming back? You don't have your sunglasses on the wrap right now.
No, not right now.
Dirk. Dirk's won championship. And what they did to get it, I was on the Laker team that they swept out of the playoffs in the first round. And they went up against that big three of Miami. And they got their first champion. Dirk was dominant.
That was big. I mean, nobody, Everybody thought that big three was going to win that and win three in a row.
7, 8, 9, there was all that, and Dirk came in there and installed himself one in convincing fashion. Dame Lillard's waved goodbye to the Thunder.
That's epic.
Dame is cold.
That's epic.
You got to think, too, it's not even on you, but the shot he hit to knock Houston out a few years before that. Yep. But his goodbye, his wave to Paul George, him on the ground.
Where he shot it from.
Deep.
The logo. Deep.
So, I mean, that was all, you know, shout out Dame.
Shout out Dame.
Shout out Dame.
Dollar. Again.
LeBron finally gets over, you know, the David and Goliath situation in Boston in 2012 to win his first title. So that was just missed the cut. KD's scoring run. I think we forget, you know, in his MVP year, his 2014 year, 41 straight games of 25 or more.
How many of them games was it me and you?
We was definitely in the mix, probably. But it's crazy with KD. You know, he was just one of the most efficient dudes. You could play good defense, but he's just so much bigger than you. It didn't matter.
Man, one of the best scorers. One of the best scorers I ever seen
all
in my
time.
Life.
And then Ray Allen's shot against in the 2015. Like, you don't like what's wrong with that? What's
allergies.
Wrong? Ray you don't
allergies.
Like that shot?
I have Ray allergies.
You got a problem with Ray? Sounds like.
Excuse me.
So anyway, man, that was our honorable mention. Moving right along.
Moving along.
We want to rank the top 10. Players of the decade. And so when we say this and we maybe leave some people out or have them in the ranking or not in the ranking, you got to realize we kind of felt like some of these guys carried over and ended their careers in the 2010s, but weren't necessarily their best body of work in the 2010s
right.
with this list. So we're not ranking any of these in order. We want you guys to put them in order, but we're just giving you what we feel are the top 10. But let's start off with the top 5.
10, but we don't give a fuck either. Go ahead.
You want to make sure they know that, right?
Remind their ass, because they be saying all kind of shit.
We're going to get the honorable mentions out the way first. Start with Paul George.
PG, PlayStation. I love PG, bro.
Coming back off an injury.
A couple injuries.
Yeah, but the big one for the Olympic team and came back to do what he has done and doing what he's doing with the Clippers now. I always got a lot of love for PG. One of the
top
best.
Top 3 two-way players in the game.
Oh, yeah, there's no question. Kyrie, one of your favorite players.
The human joystick.
Crazy.
One of the best finishers I've seen. Rod Strickland on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a fan of his game. Not only his shoes, but I'm a fan of his game.
Boys. Yeah. Melo, someone we've advocated for him, been a big fan for us. You know, I mean, he's only honorable mention because in his heydays, I think, were more of the 2000s, but he was a monster.
Yep.
Hall of Famer. Glad he's back on Portland. You know, you see me and Jack advocating for him, and everyone's out there talking shit, saying he couldn't do this, couldn't do that. He's playing
now
very
he's
well.
Player of the week.
Very playing, but you can say what you want, but he's playing very well and important, and we're happy for him. Someone I got a chance to play with and has just had the worst luck I've probably ever seen a player have is DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah, we both love Boogie, too.
He was on pace to, you know, numbers-wise, to being one of the all-time greats with his numbers he put up in Sacramento and then going to New Orleans and on the brink of, signing a huge deal, tears his Achilles.
I was at that game.
Were you?
Yes.
You know, then comes back and signs a little small deal with Golden State, tears his quad when coming back, and then the following summer tears his ACL. So It's been nothing but bad luck, but we wish Boogie the best.
His best days ahead, though, regardless.
Absolutely. Boogie, and then one of my former teammates, and to me one of the greatest point guards and leaders the game has ever seen. I think he gets a bad rep sometimes, but Chris Paul.
Probably the smartest point guard I've seen play in my time.
Chris Paul was a killer, man. One of the most competitive. I put him right up there with AI and Kobe as far as competitiveness and guys that I play with. Chris is a monster. But let's get into our top 10. This is not in any particular order. Like I said, we're going to let you guys judge it. We want to see what you guys think. So make sure you guys tap in and tell us what you think your order is. But we feel like these are the top 10 players of the 2010s, starting off with Dwayne Wade.
Flash.
I think he's the number 3 shooting guard all time behind MJ. Kobe, D-Wade, what do you think?
I can't argue with that. Right. Dominant his whole career. He has the championship to back it up. He has the final MVP to back it up. I mean, I can't argue with you on that.
You shouldn't. Steph Curry, someone who came in and changed the game. You know, you live by the three, die by the three, and they found a way to build a dynasty out of the three. And someone who's come in, like you said earlier, with a joystick handle too, and has revolutionized the game.
How many people can you say has done that? That's changed the game.
Handful
of them.
James Harden, on an offensive run we've never seen or we haven't seen in our lifetime. Obviously, one of the greatest all time offensive players we've ever seen.
I'm speechless when it comes to James Harden. Because, like,
you've been working on your actor shit, huh? Like your mannerisms and all your breathing
I am,
and all that.
I am. I've been studying.
You guys see this. Jack is out here trying to be an actor, man. Fuck with him.
Right. Vaccine. Okay. But James, though, like, I don't understand, like, as much as we play defense and as hard as we work, it was no way that somebody would be move so nonchalant and score points like that on us. Like, he's getting 60 and he's not even sweating. He don't have a strong body. He look kind of fat, like he drink beers all day. You know what I'm saying? And he's getting 60 a game.
I got some of that James Harden. I got frustrated when one time I just had to throw him on the ground. I just don't deal with getting torched too well. What can you do? And people get mad at him because he's mastered the game. He's learned how to make people foul him. He's learned how to go to the foul line 20 times. Although I think the refs still call some bullshit fouls every once in a while on his three-point shots. But he's mastered. And I think people get mad at the fact that he's outsmarted the game almost and become one of the most prolific scorers we've ever seen. Kawhi Leonard.
The Claw.
Two-time champion, two-time final MVP. You know, you had him as a young boy in San Antonio, and I remember you telling me you saw something in him early.
Yeah, I knew. Well, one, I knew that he wasn't going to be in San Antonio. Let me say that. Two, I knew he was going to be one of the top players in this league. He was focused. The way he was built and his knowledge of basketball and the way he played the game, like, he was similar to Tim Duncan. He's even-keeled. Okay, nobody take him off his game. You can say what you want to him. You can knock him down. He know he can play the game, and he going to play the game well. And he was focused on being the best.
Kobe. Someone I think, obviously, his best days were probably 2000s, but he definitely was a killer coming into the early part of 2000 up until he, you know, kind of body started giving out.
When you say Bean, that speaks for itself, man. Like, I've seen Kobe from high school to now.
Oh, you got to play together in McDonald's, man, game, right?
Man, Kobe.
You seen it from the jump.
It was just special.
I heard they robbed you of the MVP in that game, too. What happened?
Well, 1996 McDonald's All-American game.
Thanks for asking.
Thanks for asking. Go check the footage. I think I was maybe 8 for 10 from the field, 3 for 3 from the three-point line, 21 points. Nobody else was even close to 21 points. And they gave the MVP to a guy named Shaheen Holloway.
Solid
shout
player.
Out Shaheen Holloway. But I think
Seton Hall, right?
Yeah, he had like 8 points, 8 assists, a couple turnovers.
He wasn't.
We won.
He won on Stack Jackson.
It just didn't add up to me. You know what I mean?
So when we get Kobe on the show, you got to talk to him about that.
I'm going
to
ask Kobe who he think should have won MVP, and that's what matters.
How Kobe play that game?
He was solid. You know, he was chilling. Like, why am I here? I'm going to the league. Yeah, who are you guys? You're beneath me. The dunk on you. Shoot a fadeaway on you.
And I'm going to watch y'all play.
Yeah,
watch y'all play.
Have fun, college guys.
Klay Thompson, a silent assassin. And you can say what you want, but Klay could arguably be, if not the, one of the greatest shooters we've ever seen.
60 points in 29 minutes?
On 2.5 dribbles?
One step back?
Right. Klay was a killer, man. I remember always having to chase his ass off screens and then getting a chance to play with them and seeing him and Steph's work ethic outside of the games and how much they shoot and how much they don't miss. Mm-hmm. Like, to really see. I say Steph has these records and gets more shots up because he's better with the ball, off the ball, and can run pick and rolls and do all that stuff. But when it comes to just straight spot-up shooting, I couldn't really tell you, to me, who I think is better. It's those guys are right neck and neck to me.
A lot of people that don't play basketball don't know how hard it is to catch a ball in a second and move it in your hand to get the seams to shoot a perfect spinning shot.
He does
Klay
it every
does, oh my
time.
God, dog.
And it's quick
just
too.
Just watch it. For all you guys that never know what I'm talking about.
No wasted movement.
When Klay catches the ball, watch how he shifts the ball from like this to where the seams, his hands are right on the seams and he shoots a
quick
perfect
it is.
Shot every time.
You don't even recognize it sometimes. Moving right along, Anthony Davis. Someone that you really like.
The brow.
He could have been MVP the last handful of years.
Man, I love AD.
That's something going great with the Lakers now and Bron.
Yeah, I called him Tim Duncan on steroids now. Everybody's stealing all the smoke hits, stealing our stuff and saying, we're on steroids.
That was your shit?
Man, come on, man. That's our shit. They taking our shit.
Talk
but
to
it's
him.
Cool.
You ain't tripping?
I ain't tripping.
Okay. Appreciate we'll get him later.
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook, monster.
The human Duracell battery.
Man, to overcome the injuries he's overcome, and to put up the numbers he do. And what I love about Russ, he's a hater love kind of guy, but I think outside of the numbers, what I personally love is that motherfucker plays hard every second he's on the court.
I like that he marches to the beat of his own drum.
He don't care
what y'all think.
On and
what
off
y'all,
the court,
yeah,
right.
I'm me, love right. it or leave it. You know, hey, I average a triple-double and y'all still kill me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Y'all say I can't shoot. Okay, cool. I'm still gonna average a triple-double. Like, I just love the way he approaches the game. You know what I mean? I love it.
I love it too. Kevin Durant, arguably one of the greatest scorers.
What is
if
he?
Not the greatest scorer we've
what
ever
he,
seen
though?
In the game.
Is he human? Is he half
snake.
6'11" and plays like a point guard and a two guard mixed with, you know, three guard, well, actually power forward size. Handle the ball like, I mean, it's, I've never seen nothing
it's
like
scary.
Him in his efficiency. You know what I mean? I think people, like I said, James Harden is tremendous, but I think there's a few other guys that if they were in that role, every single night, you know, I'm going to shoot 30 to 40 shots. I could shoot 15 to 23s. To score like that, if Kevin Durant wanted to, he would lead the world in scoring every single year and still be the most efficient.
No question.
Steph could do it too. I think Steph could score like that too if that was his role and that was his offensive system. But yeah, Kevin Durant. And then last but not least, King James.
K-A-N-G.
And I think, you know, not only on but off the court, unlike any superstar we've ever seen to do as much as he's done for the game itself, growing the game, giving guys platforms, giving the guys game overall in business of basketball and in branding yourself as a business. I just think LeBron has done so much for the game of basketball outside of basketball and in basketball, you know.
And for present and past players.
There's no question. Definitely carried the torch. So that was our list. Like we said, no particular order. You guys down in the comments, give us your top 10 players and honorable mentions if you'd like. And see how you fare against our list. Moving right along, teams of the decade.
Top teams of the decade.
Coming in at number 5, we had the Raptors.
They've been hanging around a lot.
You know, they've been in the Eastern Conference mix.
Dealing with the Kane.
You know, and then they continue to run into someone who went to the finals 8 straight times.
Every time they walk to school, they go this route.
The bully's
right there at that bus stop. They go this route. We try to get to school. He right here. They go through Dunkin' Donuts. He had the drive-thru. Like, he's they were all fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, LeBron, get your ass on, bro. We don't have a chance.
They got LeBron to leave. Made a crazy trade that, you know, it's still talked about, but ended up working for him and acquiring Kawhi. Kawhi came about his business just like you said, like Russ. Kawhi don't give a fuck what you think. I'm going to sit out here and make sure my body is ready to play. Still playing hurt for you. I'm going to come get you a championship, and then I'm going
to
bounce.
Get these 6'7" braids to the back and just brush your ass. Don't smile.
Straight.
Whatever.
Penitentiary braid job.
Yeah. Hold it down.
Business as usual. The Cavs and LeBron.
The Cavs are the LeBrons.
2-1 or different? What are they?
I would say the LeBrons.
The LeBrons?
Yes.
Someone who went to the finals 8 straight years.
And remembered a handshake with every teammate every
crazy,
year.
Crazy, right? Handshake game is incredible.
He sat down at a post-game press conference and explained the whole first 2 or 3 possessions of the game to a reporter, dog. Like, that was crazy. Like, how do you remember something at the that happened in the first possession of the game and they replayed it on TV and it was exactly, you know what I mean? Like,
Howard,
that guy's crazy.
Game.
He's crazy, dog.
Isn't that crazy? Your former team, the San Antonio Spurs, man, they picked up 1 championship in this decade, right?
Mm-hmm. But just a 50-win team every year.
Every year. And it's a plug-and-play. To me, I compare it to, like, the New England Patriots. You know what I mean? Pop and Belichick, and they create these systems where they're able to plug-and-play guys, and they're not necessarily all the time have the best players, but they're always a team that's going to be competitive, winning 50-plus games for however many years. It was a lot of years. I don't remember how many.
And if you don't buy in,
buy the fuck out.
They're booting your ass up out of there.
You got booted.
Because I wasn't buying in.
You wasn't corporate.
I wasn't a company man. At that time, I wasn't a company man.
What are you now?
Still not a company man.
Well, you've never been a company.
No,
man.
No. But what? I was a great teammate.
Always, no doubt about that.
Yeah, I wasn't belittling myself. That's mm-hmm. all.
Okay. You know what I mean? Moving right along, the Heat. This dude is crazy. The Heat.
Fuck a lot of people lately, though.
Two out of. You got to get something off your chest.
Nah, I just.
You good?
Yeah.
You need a hug?
Nah.
Bonzi give you a hug. He came back to support
definitely
you.
Definitely don't want Bonzi to hug me. Definitely don't want
me. The Miami Heat, the number 2 team of the decade, winning 2 out of 4 championships.
They should have won more, dog.
They definitely should have won more.
I just, you know, I think they could have added something to a solid piece to back up Chris Bosh because he wasn't all the way there at all the time. I mean, he didn't show up all the time. With D-Wade and Bron, I just felt like that mix, they should have won more championships.
It's a hell of a comment. It's a hell of a duo.
Yeah.
And then our team of the decade, the Golden State Warriors, 3 out of 5 championships, changed the game. NBA record for wins in a season, although they didn't win a championship. I think they exemplified the old school way of doing it too. Outside of being able to get KD, luring KD away, they built through the draft and they had a great core in Steph, Clay, and Draymond. And people are tripping off what they're doing this year. And the way I look at it, these guys are just getting a break. You know what I mean? Steph and Clay have probably played more basketball in the last 5 years than any player in the history of the game. You know, Draymond is healthy, but I look at his numbers and he's only playing about 20-something minutes a game. Right now what they're doing is letting D'Lo do his thing so they can use him later if they need to trade him, because he's a hell of a player. And then they're finding out what these young players can do. They got this one, Pascal, I think his last name is,
he's
or whatever.
Playing good.
He's leading all rookies in scoring. You know, and he would have never got that opportunity if they have a healthy team.
Right.
You know, you don't get to show your thing. So the kid Poole out of Michigan. So what they're doing is they're developing their young talent and they're having trade assets. And then you mess around and put one of these young good players, D'Lo, in a lottery pick, because they're gonna probably be at the bottom and they're gonna be in the lottery. You trade for a Giannis and you're right back in the game next year.
Yep.
To close this show out, man, we wanted to say goodbye. I think the NBA is in great hands heading into 2020 with a lot of young, bright stars. But, you know, with the closing of this decade, we saw some greats retire.
Man.
We saw some greats. So
hate
we
to
want
see
to say,
go.
Yeah. Jason Kidd, Bay Area dude, one of the all-time great point guards.
My vet.
OG.
Story. When Mike Bibby mom took me to try out. Took me up there to play pickup, and J. Kidd was there. I remember that like yesterday. Like, for him to embrace me as a youngster, every time I see him, I thank him for that. But J. Kidd was one of the best.
That's town business.
Man, to play against him in the finals where he was in his
bag,
man,
too.
And super
RJ
bag.
And Vince
and he had
around.
Something to prove against Tony Parker at the time, but they was talking about trading him to San Antonio. So that was special. Shout out J. Kidd.
Absolutely. Dwayne Wade, Flash. We touched on him earlier. You know, great two-way player before, you know, guy that could do everything. Someone played defense, took pride in blocks, like probably the all-time leading guard in blocks or something like that. Amazing. Kevin Garnett. We talked about him early in the show if he would have came to the We Believe team, but just what he stood for.
I just wish everybody had his passion
Man,
for the game.
It would be crazy.
What? If everybody had his passion for the game, it wouldn't be no 40-point blowouts.
Got to get him on the show.
Yes.
I fuck with KG.
Yes.
One of your former teammates and someone you love, Tim Duncan.
Tim Duncan, big fundamentals.
Arguably the greatest.
Pack, that's our paintball team.
Arguably the greatest power forward of all time.
Can do it all. Best teammate. Super smart. You can coach to him. Everything. If you want to start an organization, you start it with Tim Duncan.
Only thing I'd knock on Tim, he can't dress for shit.
Word. That's, you know, I fucked with him, but that shit was horrible, dog. That shit was horrible. I mean, that's horrible.
Someone who could have been one of the greats, but just injury bug and some bad luck was T-Mac.
Man, T-Mac was hard to guard, bro.
Killer, because he jumped so high in his motherfucking jump shot.
But his shot was similar to Clay. Like, he was always straight
quick
up and down on the shot. Yeah,
mid-range, get to the basket, dunk on you, shoot deep
threes. He's one of the best top 10 scorers of all time.
I agree. I think he's definitely up there. Slept on. Steve Nash.
Two-time MVP.
Two-time MVP, former teammate of mine. Just saw the mine floor too. Like no one I've ever seen. You know, up there with, you know, the Magic Johnson, the Chris Pauls, as you know, being able to see the floor and make plays for others, always made his teammates better. Great guy on and off the court. And, you know, he had a hell of a run.
And Steve more hip than y'all think, too.
No, Steve was super
That's
fly.
My boy.
Yeah. He get down.
Steve solid.
Steve get down. Paul Pierce, the truth. He's really underestimated.
I took
crazy.
A lot of stuff out of his game and tried to add it in my
Paul Pierce was an all-around killer.
He has the best footwork I've ever seen of any basketball player in my life.
Footwork crazy, clutch gene crazy, three-pointer, mid-range, and get there and dunk on you.
At 2 miles per hour.
Talk shit, play to his pace.
At 2 miles per hour.
Play to his pace.
Shout out to T.
Dirk.
Man.
Killer.
We had some wars with him, but
I really think I would love to get him in and talk to him about it. I think we really made him better with the shit we did to him and during that We Believe run.
We sure made him tougher.
Because he was MVP that season, 63 wins. But we, for the first time, like people like me and you guarded him and we changed the game. And every time he turned like, so we tried to punk him out of the series and it worked.
We took it. Yeah, we did.
But then he came back. Absolute animal.
Yep.
So that's why I really think like we were like the like little dogs just nagging the fuck out of him and kind of put him on, you know, put more toughness in him and
came back
with a vengeance.
He had to go home that summer after losing that first round.
Like, licked them wounds.
Yeah,
like, what did these motherfuckers do to us?
Fuck that.
The
Coming
fuck?
Back with the ratchet spray, everything.
We just locked to these dudes.
Do,
and he came back just a killer. He was one of my favorite players, man. Just to be able to do what he can do, like, you know, one of the original stretch fours. The one leg fadeaway, like there was nothing you can do with. He was just a mismatched nightmare.
Top five all time?
Scoring? Nah, not top five, but he's up there.
Top 10?
We have to see.
Dirk is top. He's in the thing. He got 30 plus, didn't he?
He got a lot of points.
So he should. I think Dirk is top. If he has 30, he has to be top five, right?
Players of all time?
Scores.
Oh, scores of all time. Yeah, I'm not sure where he ranks on the list.
I think he's top five.
Let us know. You know they'll know. They know the facts. Yeah. And then, like you said, Kobe Bean, 20 years in the game.
You get 100 points on your way out.
Right. Five championships. One of the most mentally tough players I've ever seen. His mental approach was second to none for me. Just an all-around great. And then, like you said, like who goes out with 60 points?
Kobe. People live in the moment, and they don't understand how great Kobe is because they're watching a great player right now, LeBron. But Kobe was special, man.
Oh man, Kobe was special. Killer. And then last but not least, someone who's still pushing along at 22 years, Vince Carter, man. Shout out Vince.
Half amazing. That name fits him even more now.
Bro, he took the world by storm when he came into the game in the 90s, and what he was doing, what he did for Toronto, and you know, for him to be able to still. The longevity to play 22 years in the NBA, like that's hard to do.
He also put a spark back in the Olympics too.
Oh, when he dunked over that 7-foot
dude. Yeah, that kind of put a spark back.
Only thing I didn't like about it, he tried to grow it. And I told him that he tried to grow his shit out that year. His shit was fucked.
Yeah, the back nine.
I don't know what that was.
Yeah, the PGA Tour.
I told him to his face, Vince, cut that shit off. I told him later, once we played together, but that shit was god awful. But outside of that, he was incredible. One of the most athletic, skilled players that we've ever seen. So,
shout out Vince.
It's been a hell of a decade. Like I said, the NBA is left in great hands. We got a lot of young, up-and-coming talent with Luka and the Greek Freak.
Trey.
And Trey Young and Ben Simmons, Embiid. The list goes on. Like I said earlier, the Warriors aren't done yet. The Warriors will, you know, find a way to get back in the mix. You know, can LeBron bring the Lakers back to prominence? Can PG and Kawhi bring the Clippers their first title?
Possible.
You know, I'm excited to see what this next 10 holds, but I'm about to be 40, bro. Hey, I don't look like it, though, do I?
Best days, hell nah. You
are
they? They're best days ahead of you, bro.
So next time we do this, we'll be 50? No. I don't know if we do all the smoke for 10 years?
No. We ain't gonna do it for 10 years. I'm gonna tell you right now.
That's a lot of you.
We're not doing it for 10 years.
Anyway,
we're gonna graduate at some point.
Thank you guys for joining us. You guys have a happy, safe new year. And man, 2020 is gonna be crazy. We got some crazy schedules and slates. Both hands.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good work.
But man, check out 2020. We got a lot of shit coming for you guys. Thank you for tuning in. We'll catch you later.
A lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.